Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So who are you? And what are you supposed to be doing? Understanding ourselves as human beings really is all about those two questions. What is your identity? What is your purpose? Who are you, anyway? People are seeking to find out who they are. All through life, we're trying to find out who we are. From little on, especially in teenage and college years, people all around the world are trying to find themselves. And as they do so, they go to different places to try to figure out who they are. There's all sorts of books out there and famous people you could go to who could tell you how to figure out your purpose in life. And maybe a lot of people will turn to people like Oprah. In fact, Oprah has her own spiritual guru that she goes to get answers. And if you go on her website, you can find this article that says, How to Find Yourself. There, a person named Giselle, a woman who lives in Los Angeles, California, is facing a crisis. She writes into Oprah about how she has been confused about who she is. She's lost. Her life is out of control. And she can't seem to get it together. She's gone to psychics. She's gone to self-help coaches. She's gone to different books. And none of it has really worked. She's tried this thing and that thing. It's just failed. So Oprah's spiritual guru, Deepak Chopra, tells her, this is what you need to do. Your problem is that you lack a self you can rely on, he says. You lack a self that you can rely on. Something has caused you to run so desperately in all different directions because you're trying to find your true self. And finding your true self is what spirituality is all about. His answer is to find a self you can rely on. And in some ways, that's true. Finding ourselves as God intended us to be means we need a self we can rely on. The problem is that most people out there will tell you to find it within yourself. But in our sermon today, we're going to find it somewhere else. Find our identity and find our purpose, and we're going to find it in Christ. Our text comes from Philippians chapter 3. Yet indeed, Paul writes, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is God's word, and it's been spoken for you. We pray, Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Two things are going on here. Paul is showing us where our identity is going to be found and where our purpose is going to be found. First, who are you? When we ask that question, we're addressing a fundamental need of what it means to be human, to understand who we are, to understand ourselves, our reasoning, our thinking, our hopes, our interests. For most people, though, they'll tell you that who you are is defined by what you do. Most people think that who you are is the choices you make, the things you do, the interests you have, and how you feel about yourself. For some of us, this can lead to a bit of a crisis, especially if we're honest with ourselves. Paul went through this experience because the Apostle Paul once saw himself and saw his identity as what he did, as a religious person. He considered himself the Hebrew of the Hebrews. He writes that in the letter. And what he meant by that was he was the religious person of all religious people. He writes how he was circumcised according to the law. He came from the best tribe of Israel. He followed the law as the Pharisees did. He was used to be a Pharisee. And he was zealous, standing up against anything that would threaten his view of the world. He was outwardly blameless. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, and he lived his life accordingly. This was his identity. This is how he saw himself. So what about you? Is that who you are? What you do? What you've accomplished? Much of American society is going to tell you that that's how you define yourself, is your accomplishments, what you've done with your life, what you're going to do with your life. It's about performance. And it leaves a child wondering who she really is. She was raised a Catholic, in a good Catholic family. They had their problems, sure. Their parents fought. She argued with them. But they were her parents, and she grew up knowing them as her parents until she reached the age of 10. Then everything changed. At age 10, her parents told her that they were getting a divorce. And on top of that, as they wrestled over issues of custody, they had to also tell her the truth about herself. She was adopted. And they had never told her. 10 years, they had never told her she was adopted. And now when everything's falling apart, she finds out the people she thought she could trust most to really understand who she was, suddenly were not who she thought they were. It leads to an identity crisis. The person she thought she was seems to no longer exist. We go through a bit of identity crisis ourselves anytime our trust is somehow violated. And as Christians, that trust is rooted in how we know God, our relationship with Him, not just our parents, but God. And all of us should have a sense of a relationship with God as our Creator, but is it right? Are we righteous before God? That's our identity, after all. If we've come from our Creator, we need to know that we are right with the one who created us, who gave us life, who watches over us. And Paul soon found that he was not, that he wasn't right with God. Instead, he discovered that God's revelation of righteousness was something so far beyond what he could achieve in the law. As he looked back on what he had done or what he had accomplished, in the end, it was all going to fall apart. If we define ourselves by what we've accomplished, what we've done, what we've achieved, we're setting ourselves up for failure. Because it's a righteousness that's just never going to hold up in the long run. And it's never going to assure us that we are children of God. But Paul says, I count all things loss. He says they're rubbish. All the things that you thought were important, that you thought you've achieved, that you thought you needed to do in this life are garbage, he says. Manure, compost, just something to be thrown out. Because that's not who you are. You are a creature of God. And what that means is that you can only know who you are by finding yourself in Christ. The one who dies and rises. The one who counts this world against him to be lost, that he might give himself for you. A righteousness which comes not from the law and what you've done or what you're going to do, but from God, where he makes things right between you and him, where you're no longer a child that's been cast off, but you're one who is drawn near, who finds his righteousness coming from God by faith. Remember, trust is fundamental to knowing who we are. And that trust is now built up by a God who gives his own Son to assure us that we are fully righteous children of God. Now that's a self that you can rely on. And it's also a self, an identity that leads you to your purpose. Because as much as we want to know who we are, we find ourselves in Christ, we also want to know what God wants us to do. What are we supposed to be doing? What is our purpose? There again, you can find thousands of self-help books and purpose-driven life gurus that will tell you what you're supposed to be doing, what your purpose is, and usually what they'll do is they'll tell you that your purpose is what you want. Who you are is what you do, and your purpose is what you want. They'll tell you, figure out what interests you, what you want out of life, what makes you happy. And then all of a sudden, they'll shape your purpose accordingly by what you want to get out of life. The problem with this, of course, is that it tends to take away from God, what belongs only to God. It tends to set God aside. This was the basic outlook of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a religious group that had a definite purpose, a definite drive for what they wanted to see happening in the religious community, what they wanted for themselves, and what they wanted for Israel. They were the religious leaders, the spiritual gurus. And they saw their purpose by what they wanted. They worked hard for it. They were hard-working religious people, dedicated to the law, dedicated to doing the things that God wanted. And when all of a sudden somebody came along who was going to change that understanding, that purpose, they had a tough time with that. They wanted to claim what belonged to God as their own because they had worked for it. They deserved it. And Jesus illustrated this with a parable. A parable of God and his vineyard. You see, there was a rich landowner who owned a vineyard. And he planted the field, he nourished it, he cultivated it, and then he gave it to other people. He gave it to some caregivers, and he went away on a trip. And then the field that he had worked so hard for, he gave to the caregivers, and he wanted to check up on it from time to time, so he sent his servants. He sent one servant, he sent two servants, he sent three servants, and they came along to see how things were going. Was the field producing? What was the harvest like? How were the conditions? Did they need help? But when the caretakers saw these servants coming, they felt threatened. They had worked hard to manage this field. And now these people were going to come along and take the fruit for themselves? No, no, no. That's not how this works. So they threatened those servants. They sent them away empty-handed. Finally, the owner of the vineyard said, I know what I'll do. I'll send my own son. Surely they will listen to the heir. They sent his own son, and when they saw him coming, they said, here comes the heir. If we can get rid of him, then it'll all be ours. And they cast him out, and they crucified him. Because they didn't want to give up their purpose, their dream, their vision for what they thought they deserved. Our purpose can never be found apart from Christ. And in Christ, we have to let go. Let go of everything we think we've earned, we think we've deserved, until there's nothing left but rubbish. To be conformed to his suffering, to be conformed to his death, to know the power of the resurrection is to lose yourself and find Christ. To let go of everything and lay hold of everything. To be conformed to Christ's death means to know the power of the resurrection is a purpose that lies beyond this world and the things of this world. It's not about what you want, but what about what God is accomplishing? The power of the resurrection, to know him and the power of the resurrection is to press on, Paul says. Press on. Keep going. Leave behind all that other stuff that you thought was important or all that other stuff that you found yourself being consumed with, those sins behind you. Forget it and press forward. See this congregation pressing forward and see yourself pressing on. That's your purpose. It's an upward calling with a downward trajectory. An upward calling where we see everything God is promising to us in the power of the resurrection, just like Christ, to be at peace with God eternally, righteousness, joy, love is yours today. Press on. Press on through whatever struggles, whatever things are going to get Giselle down. Press on in the power of the resurrection. Not because you're claiming what you deserve, but because you're receiving what God's giving. Faith. That's your upward calling. To find your purpose in Christ, and just like him, to recognize it's not going to be easy. You're going to suffer. You're going to sometimes be cast out. You're not going to have all the friends or the things you thought you might have. But you will have Christ. And in the end, that's all that matters. Giselle is wondering where she can find a self she can rely on. Trust is fundamental to our existence as humans who live under a creator. And in Christ, we've found him. A self we can rely on. Someone we can trust when everything else has failed. Like a baby whose parents feed him, protect him. We are believers whose God feeds us and protects us, gives us an identity as his children, and gives us a purpose to persevere and press on in the power of the resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
We rise.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.